gentlemen, to the War Room.
Huge show we have for you to do today. Major developments on practically every front. Breaking news coming in hot and fast. Donald Trump is live right now at a Black History Month event, signing some sort of executive order. We can check in on that, but I don't think it's anything particularly newsworthy, not with everything else going on today. So we'll get into it. War with Iran, again, seems imminent, but it has for a year, so we'll check in on that. And just a ton of videos to go to, and we'll be joined in the third hour by Jason Jones, who's been doing a lot of work with the Palestinians in the West Bank as they are being annexed by Israel. Very excited to talk to him in the third hour. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 18th of February, 2026. Les Wexner has been deposed by House Oversight Committee over Epstein ties. Democratic members of the House Oversight Committee questioned former CEO Les Wexner on Wednesday morning at his home in Ohio as part of their investigation into affiliates of Jeffrey Epstein, the billionaire's former associate. We'll show you the written statement he made as well as comments from the congressman following the questioning. For some reason, not a single Republican apparently showed up for this. So it was just Democrats questioning Les Wexner, despite the fact that there's a lot of supposedly and seemingly really good Republicans on the House Oversight Committee. None of them bothered to show up, so we'll look into that. Meanwhile, allegations in Epstein files may account to, quote, crimes against humanity, UN experts say. Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein files released suggest the existence of a, quote, global criminal enterprise that carried out acts meeting the legal threshold of crimes against humanity, according to a panel of independent experts appointed by the United Nations Human Rights Council. So obviously the Human Rights Council and the UN itself has to go. It has to all go. It's anti-Semitic. We have to get rid of it. Meanwhile, Trump moves closer to major war with Iran. The Trump administration is closer to a major war in the Middle East than most Americans realize. It could begin very soon, as in within the next 12 hours, some say. A U.S. military operation in Iran would likely be a massive weeks-long campaign that would look more like full-fledged war than last month's pinpoint operation in Venezuela, sources say. And we'll break that down. Again, it's, I don't know, it's looking an awful lot like we're gearing up for an attack against Iran. But like I said, it's looked that way for a while. I mean, I was going through some old papers from like 2 weeks ago yesterday, and the headlines are exactly the same as the ones we have now. You know, major aircraft carrier task force moving towards the Strait of Hormuz. So, you know, we've been playing this game of chicken for a while, maybe finally coming to a head. Then we have this: distraught family blasts Canada for euthanizing son, 26, who suffered from, quote, seasonal depression. Keanu Vaferin, a 26-year-old blind man with type 1 diabetes, died in December using Canada's MAID program, which allows patients with, quote, grievous and irredeemable medical conditions to request a lethal drug. Eligibility was expanded in 2021 to include people with chronic illnesses, disabilities, and pending parliamentary review, potentially individuals with certain mental health conditions. This 26-year-old faced mental health struggles stemming from a car accident at 17, and he had seasonal depression, whereas depression would flare in the winter months. And this winter, Canada decided to kill him, so now he's dead. We have this also on the war front. Second day of talks on Russia-Ukraine war ends after only 2 hours, but it is looking like Zelensky, at least, is coming to terms with the fact that he's going to have to settle for peace pretty soon because he just keeps losing, and that's not going to change anytime soon. Finally, Tucker Carlson has been, or was briefly, detained in Israel. Journalists, quote, dragged into interrogation room as explosive interview sparks diplomatic firestorm. The former Fox News host flew into Tel Aviv for a sit-down with Mike Huckabee, who challenged Carson to speak to him directly following the online spat about the country's treatment of Christians. And he apparently was detained and not allowed to exit the airport. We'll show you more of that on the other side. Stay with us. It's The War Room, Infowars.com.
I am
am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on Infowars.com, band.video, and, of course, streaming on X. Make sure you're following us at Infowars, at Real Alex Jones. I'm at Harrison H. Smith. We have some breaking news here. Just broke minutes ago. Tucker Carlson detained in Israel. Journalist dragged into interrogation room as explosive interview sparks diplomatic firestorm. The former Fox News host flew into Tel Aviv for a sit-down with Mike Huckabee, who challenged Carlson to speak to him directly following an online spat about the country's treatment of Christians. Carlson, who also frequently criticizes Israel for its military actions in Gaza, took Huckabee up on his offer. But as critics and pro-Israel activists began piling on Carlson for purportedly not leaving the airport during his brief visit, he revealed that he was met with hostility in the Middle Eastern country. Carlson told the Daily Mail exclusively that shortly after the interview, Israeli officials confiscated his passport and hauled off his executive producer to an interrogation room. Men who identified themselves as airport security took our passports, hauled our executive producer into a side room, and demanded to know what we spoke to Ambassador Huckabee about. Carlson told the Daily Mail, "It was bizarre. We are now out of the country." Prior to the interview, Carlson posted a photo on X of himself and his business partner Neil Patel in front of Ben Gurion Airport on Wednesday with the caption, "Greetings from Israel." Tucker Carlson said he and his staff were detained at Ben Gurion Airport and interrogated by Israeli officials following that interview with U.S. Ambassador Mike Huckabee. Huckabee, who's known Carlson for over three decades and previously worked with him at Fox News, invited Carlson to Israel to discuss their differences. "Too bad Tucker stayed in the airport in the face of so many invitations to see so many wonderful places. A huge and obviously intentionally missed opportunity," taunted David Friedman, a former U.S. ambassador to Israel during Trump's first term. Two sources familiar with the matter, however, say told the Daily Mail that the Israeli government initially did not want to allow Carlson into the country, prompting a delegate negotiation involving the State Department. In the end, the Israeli government decided not to bar Carlson from entering the country in order to avoid a diplomatic incident, according to Channel 13 report. I don't know if there would have been a diplomatic incident. I don't see how that would have played out exactly. I mean, we've seen the way that American journalists can be treated by our supposed allies. They can kill them, and America won't do anything about it. Gonzalo Lira comes to mind. He, of course, was an American journalist in Ukraine trying to flee that country when he was arrested and didn't escape with his life. We never heard a word about it. Do you think it'd be any different with Tucker Carlson? Do you think if Tucker Carlson was actually, like, arrested by Israel and taken to one of their rape prisons, do you think America would have actually said anything about that? I seriously doubt it. I feel like they would have been like, well, that's what you get. That's what you get for speaking out against Israel. What do you expect? So I don't know. I mean, I think this was maybe just an act of mercy by Israel. Maybe we should be thanking Israel, because I think if they wanted to arrest and torture and kill Tucker Carlson, I'm seriously doubt the American government would ever do anything about that. I think that's the situation that we're in, actually. And I think it's telling that our greatest ally, who depends on us for absolutely everything, will keep out the most popular American broadcaster because he simply insults them. Not exactly surprising, but just another indication of where we stand in the minds of Israel. Instead of talking about me, why don't you come talk to me, Huckabee wrote on X about a month ago. Carlson replied by welcoming the invitation before noting they were working on setting up the interview. Israel's popularity remains at an all-time low in the GOP among Republican voters and Trump supporters. The Carson-Huckabee event was reportedly an attempt by the Trump administration to prevent debates surrounding Israel from breaking the GOP's conservative coalition ahead of the midterms. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's going to work because you see the people of America don't like Israel and have very good reasons to not like Israel because of their actions, their behavior, their continuing treatment of innocent people in Palestine. And also, we're about to go to war with Iran on their behalf, and they're not even trying to trick us. They're not even trying to convince us that this is in any way beneficial for America or necessary for America. They're just telling us they're going to war with Iran and calling you anti-Semitic if you disagree, I guess. Now, there's a post on 4chan that was getting a lot of attention yesterday. I don't know how much attention to give it, but this rings true. And supposedly this person who posted this first comment had posted things before that showed that he did have some sort of inside information. But this is an anonymous post that was going around yesterday. He says, I posted yesterday with a 36-hour timeline. We are now in the 24-hour window. Look for a significant number of Iranian leadership to be exterminated. The leadership of Iran is made up of a secret council of 22 military and political leaders who meet regularly in bunkers in Tehran, or a bunker in Tehran. One of their members is a Mossad agent. Needless to say, this group goes first. Israel knows after the last few years, this is the time to end this show, and tactical nukes will take out most of Iran's missile infrastructure in the first strike. Tehran will go in the first wave in a false flag attack set up for Israel to kick things off. Cheers. And then somebody else responds, Venezuela was a test for what's happening in Iran. A large part of the Iranian military and leadership will be vaporized in the opening salvos. Israel will use tactical nukes to take out Iranian missiles and their bases. We are about T-minus 3 days now. So that was posted yesterday. Again, we don't know if this person has any inside information, but if you're just playing this out in your head, the only way that an attack on Iran makes any sense at all is if it looks an awful lot like the way this was described. We saw last June the way that Iranian missiles were able to blow right through the Iron Dome and score massive hits on Israel. And I don't even think they were trying that hard. I think if they really thought this is it, the fight for our survival, and just unleash their hundreds of thousands of missiles, it's not going to go well. So the only way to go after Iran, I mean, you're seeing the way they do it, right? Fomenting rebellion internally, putting them in a untenable economic position, and then pressuring them, and then having, you know, agitators go in and start violence and trying to create a groundswell color revolution to weaken the power structure there. Or you'd have to go in and just, like, kill all of the leadership. And I don't even know how well that would work, but it would have to be combined with something like tactical nukes hitting the missile warehouse. So again, while I don't know how legitimate that inside information is, I think that's sort of the best explanation of what this attack may very well look like. Times of Israel has the article, U.S.-Iran war could be imminent and take weeks, sources warn after latest nuclear talks. A military confrontation between the U.S. and Iran could begin in the coming days as an intensive multi-week campaign, sources said Wednesday, despite ongoing diplomatic talks between Washington and Tehran. Former IDF military intelligence chief Amos Yadlin suggested Wednesday that such confrontation could be imminent. Last week, I allowed myself to fly out to the Munich Security Conference. I would think twice about flying this weekend, Yadlin told Channel 12 News on Wednesday, a day after the second round of nuclear talks was held in Geneva. We are much closer than we were before, but I remind you, a superpower does not go to war in a matter of days. There is a diplomatic path that must be exhausted, said Yadlin, who now heads a national security consultancy. He said that many oppose the attack. The Pentagon is not clear that they want it, what they want it to achieve. The president is very determined. The statement is that all options are on the table, is based on a credible military threat, which comes alongside the preparations off the coast of Iran and in the skies. New York Times has this article by Thomas L. Friedland. Netanyahu plays Trump and American Jews for fools again, saying, let's stop beating around the bush. Israel's far-right government, led by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, is spitting in America's face and telling us it's raining. It's not raining. Bibi is playing both President Trump and American Jews for fools. And if the U.S. lets him get away with it, we are fools. While keeping Trump focused on the Iranian missile and nuclear threat, which, though reduced, is still very real and will have to be dealt with diplomatically or militarily, Bibi is fundamentally threatening broader U.S. interests in the Middle East, not to mention the security of Jews all over the world. In what way? I cannot put it more succinctly than Ehud Olmert, the former Israeli prime minister, did when he said, quote, a violent and criminal effort is underway to ethnically cleanse territories in the West Bank, he wrote in an essay in Haaretz this month. Gangs of armed settlers persecute, harm, wound, and even kill Palestinians living there. The rampages inside burning olive groves, houses, and cars, breaking into homes, and physically assaulting people. The rioters, the Jewish terrorists, storm Palestinians with hate and violence with one objective, to force them to flee their homes. All this is done with the hopes of that the land will be prepared for Jewish settlement en route to realizing the dreams of annexing all the territories. Israel's accelerating attempts towards annexation in the West Bank and to permanently remain in Gaza and deny Palestinians political rights in both areas are as morally reckless and demographically insane as would the U.S. annexing Mexico. If it were just Israelis who were going to be hurt by the crazy fantasy that some 7 million Israeli Jews can control 7 million Palestinian Arabs in perpetuity, I might be tempted to say that if Israel's leaders want to commit national suicide, I can't stop them. But the effects will not be confined to Israel. I believe this is a messianically driven endeavor that will make today's Israel permanently indistinguishable from apartheid South Africa and will have serious detrimental implications for both American interests and the interests of security of Jews all over the world. And folks, this is not an unintended consequence. It's, in fact, as far as I can tell, an intended consequence. We can go to clip number 31 here. This is former Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, sort of reflecting the statement that we've been playing recently from Benjamin Netanyahu, telling all Jewish Americans that it's basically time to reject your Americanism and fight back against your country. Okay. Here's Naftali Bennett saying something very similar, but perhaps even more disturbing. Let's watch. 31.
So we have to build a lot of assets, so they need us a lot. Because I've come to one conclusion, they're not going to love us. The aspiration that the world will love Israel, it's not going to happen. What we need is that our enemies fear us, our friends respect us, and everyone needs us. We tried the love us thing for about 3,000 years, didn't work.
Okay, how hard did you try? How hard did you really try? Can you tell me that? So, I mean, I don't know how else to take this other than like a declaration of war, right? He's like, yeah, we're not interested in being loved anymore. We just want to be feared. It's like, okay, well, nobody's actually scared of you. You don't even do your own fighting. I mean, it's been over 2 years at this point. You haven't even taken out Hamas. Hamas is in Gaza, which is a completely like open air prison. You control absolutely the flow of everything in or out. You have just total freedom of action over the entire place. And like you still didn't even beat them. So, and now you're going to go to war with Iran. Like this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous in a lot of ways, but I guess the same thing I was saying about Netanyahu yesterday or the day before, where it's just like, what is your problem? What is your problem? When you look around at the world over the last couple decades, do you see a lot of hatred of the Jews, or do you see, especially in America, Jews thriving, doing amazing, getting at the top of like every industry? Like it's been fine, right? It's been fine, but now that you've been engaged in a 2-year genocide, just brutally killing or starving children. People don't like that, and they've transmuted that into, see, they're never going to love us. We tried so hard, you guys. We tried so hard to play along, but it's just never going to happen. And just remember, like, this is a key component of their entire psychological operation. The entire worldview has to be convince you, has to be to convince you that anti-Semitism is unnatural. It just appears. There's nothing anybody can do about it. Because if they actually acknowledge the reality that people don't like Israel because of their actions, then they could change their actions and just be normal like other countries. But they just absolutely refuse to do that and are now basically saying, we don't want to be loved. We just want to be feared. So great. We'll see how that works out for you. And by the way, just exactly like I was saying last week when I was saying, do you think, like, play it through your head. Let's just say, and I don't even know how this works, but imagine a situation in which we actually take out Iran. Somehow, you know, a couple months from now, the Iranian leadership has been completely decapitated. We have some Reza Pahlavi or somebody sitting on the throne. Do you think that's the end of it? Do you think it's like, okay, peace now. Now we can deal with the illegal immigrants and we can deal with all this other stuff? No, it's just going to be on to the next one, on to the next enemy, on to the next, you know, danger, existential crisis for the people of the West, the freedom lovers of the world. So clip number 14, where in the same speech, former Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett says, actually, you know, we're about to be finished with Iran, and then Turkey's going to be our next Iran. And pay attention to the lack of applause when he says this. Clip 34. Let's watch. Clip 34.
New Turkish threat is emerging. I want to be very clear. Turkey and Qatar have gained influence in Syria, are seeking influence elsewhere and everywhere throughout the region. And from here, I warn, Turkey is the new Iran. Erdogan is sophisticated, dangerous, and he seeks to encircle Israel. We can't close our eyes again.
You insane idiots.
And while some senior Israelis...
I mean, my God. Wait, no, we can take him down. I don't want to hear anything more from him. But, like, I just love that there's just, like, no applause. Like, he stops as if there's going to be applause. He's like, Turkey is the new Iran. You just imagine him by, like, what? What? No, Iran still exists. What are you talking about? Yeah, obviously we're going to keep the war going when, as soon as we get what we want, but don't tell everybody that. Don't go announcing it. Okay, so Turkey's going to be the next Iran. And then once they take out Turkey, what do you think is going to be the next Iran after that? Germany? What do you think is going to be the next Gaza, the next Palestine? All of Europe, if I had to guess? America itself? Suddenly the... you know, they'll send America to war with Iran. Iran will use their hypersonic missiles to, you know, blow apart the aircraft carriers. Tens of thousands of Americans will die. That will naturally have the consequence of making Americans hate Israel more. And so then they'll be able to basically say, look, America, it's hopeless. They're so anti-Semitic. There's nothing we can do about this. I guess they're the new Palestinians. Now they're trying to kill us, and they won't rest until we're all dead. We have to defeat them first. Please, China, won't you help us? Won't you defend us from the evil Americans? See, I have the feeling that this whole war in Iran thing is designed to kick off World War III with the express intention of destroying America once and for all and moving more towards the east with Israel as the capital of a one-world government. Have I mentioned this before? Because everything keeps aligning to it. Perfectly, and as if it's a giant script being followed. Let's go down to clip number 8. This is former CIA officer John Curacao talking about a conversation he had with Colonel Douglas McGregor about Iran's hypersonic missiles. Let's go to clip 8.
I was talking to Colonel Doug McGregor a few days ago about Iran's hypersonic missiles, and I said, Doug, I'm not a military guy. I don't know the details of these. Programs. Can an aircraft carrier defend itself from a hypersonic missile? And he said, no. There's no defense from a hypersonic missile. Well, the Iranians have hypersonics. The Chinese and the Russians gave them the technology and they developed it internally, domestically. An aircraft carrier is the size of a city. It has 25,000 sailors on it. Can you imagine if they sank one of those things? Or even just damaged it to the point where it would have to be towed into port for 2 years worth of repairs? I just see nothing good coming of an armed conflict with Iran. And I will say, and this may be a fault of mine, but I'm an eternal optimist. I will say that both the White House and the Iranians last week said, after the first round of indirect talks in Muscat, that progress was made.
Well, whatever progress was made is not stopping the buildup of armaments, not just from America, by the way, in the Middle East. Russia and China are very much involved in all of this. In fact, we can go to clip 25 here as B-roll. China assisting Iran with intel surveillance, and they have moved one of their gigantic signal intercepting ships towards the Strait of Hormuz. You also have Russia getting involved. Clip 5 here we can use as B-roll. Russian warships arrive at Bandar Abbas for surprise exercises with Iran, set to start near the Hormuz choke point amid U.S. warships' presence. So Russia and China are both sort of meeting the ante and matching the energy of America as we send just enormous amounts of military hardware into the Middle East. Iran is openly preparing for war with the U.S. in case talks collapse. Iran right now is deploying forces to the Strait of Hormuz. They are reviving, quote, Mosaic Defense, which is a decentralized military command designed to survive leadership strikes. They're fortifying their nuclear sites, as can be seen by satellite surveillance. They're hardening their air defenses and expanding domestic crackdowns to prevent unrest. So they are very much getting ready for the war, as they believe it's coming very soon. Look, if I was Iran, I don't know what to say other than, like, if I was Iran, I wouldn't wait. I don't know. It's like, and again, this is the thing. How are we even supposed to talk to Iran when every time they've entered into talks before us, we have pulled the rug out from underneath them? It almost doesn't matter how well the talks are going at this point. They've been poisoned from the beginning because of Israel, because every time we try to negotiate with somebody in the Middle East, Israel blows up their negotiators or bombs their embassy or starts straight up war with them. And so Iran is not incentivized to believe anything that we say or come to any sort of agreement, least of all the agreements that we're attempting to foist on them, which is telling them to completely and totally disarm themselves. Why would they do that? They're obviously not going to do that, especially not when, if they were to do that, the only thing guaranteeing their safety are the promises of America and Israel, the people that lie constantly about everything all the time. Like, this is the potentially, like, world-ending scenario that was kind of an inevitability from the very first time that Iran tried to enter into talks in good faith, only to have their ambassadors or their negotiators or their homeland bombed to hell by Israel and America. So, I mean, we're just going to have to fight. I think we've screwed it up too much. We've already screwed up the diplomatic solution by being liars.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, know me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. And the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimate Methylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it if you're on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in, and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I ain't going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone. Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone.
First in my scope is BAE Systems. Specialize in killing people from a distance. Power is a drug and they feed the addiction. Immediate deletion of people's existence. Who says what isn't legitimate resistance? To push these buttons, you don't need a brave heart. State of the art darts leave more than your face scarred. You might impress an A&R with your fake bars. Cause you probably think Rolls Royce only make cars. This is for the colonizers.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. We are talking war. The big one, World War III, the inevitable. The unnecessary. We're not going to spend too much more time on this. So I'll just give you a rundown of just like why I think this is not looking like a bunch of bluster. It's looking like it may very well be actually happening this time, whether we like it or not. But we're going to be talking a lot more about Israel in the third hour with Jason Jones. We'll talk about the West Bank and the way that Israel expelling people. So we got a lot of domestic news to get into, but finishing up with what's going on in Iran. Let's go to clip number six here. This is Colonel Douglas McGregor basically saying that there's very little chance of a diplomatic outcome that's positive. Let's go to Douglas McGregor here.
No, I don't think there's any chance at this stage for any sort of agreement with the Iranians, because we can't compromise on the points that Benjamin Netanyahu provided to us. These are Netanyahu's conditions. Let's not lose sight of this. Let's get back to the facts. We are the instrument of Israeli power and international finance right now in its war with BRICS and the countries that refuse to submit to, as they have for many decades, to our financial domination. This is not all about territory. It is about resources, but preeminently finance. So I don't see anything resolving itself without a fight. And well, for Iran, let's be frank, the only thing they've got to do is endure, persist, outlast. That's their goal. They need to inflict some damage on us too, but they've got to persist and exist. If they can't, they're finished.
All right, folks. Alex Jones in studio with me. Just talked to,
I talked to Tucker's producer. They don't want to be overly dramatic. The story's true. And they seem pissed off after the interview with
Huckabee.
Yeah, but it just shows the mindset, like the arrogance that Kiriakou talks about.
Yeah.
They still didn't want to make a big deal about it. Yeah, blah, blah. And they were like, well, you know, who knows, maybe Netanyahu has his own opposition over there. Maybe they did it to like make a story, because Netanyahu doesn't really control the airport police. But it did happen. So I shot a live report on X about 5 minutes ago. They're going to give it to you so you can air it, and I'll give you the inside baseball. But yes, the story's true. It did happen. And you talk about arrogance. I mean, you talk about tripod here. This is just emblematic of the arrogance of Israel. I mean, what a dumb move to make the interview 10 times bigger. But it was a pretty fiery interview. So as soon as you have that, they're downloading it now. It's on X. You can play for people.
So they did get the interview, because I wasn't sure. I thought maybe he got kicked out before.
No. He was leaving.
Okay.
And they grabbed him. And they're like, don't make a big deal about it. Yeah, well, they're mad. Yeah. But, because that's not their angle. But I was like, yeah, there it is. It's so ridiculous.
It's
like, thanks for the Streisand effect, dumbasses.
Yeah, nobody would even know Tucker Carlson was in Israel if they hadn't arrested him. That's okay. But yeah, typical. Not exactly a surprise. They seem.
That's where you get the word chutzpah.
Chutzpah, yeah, exactly. Well, and I don't know. It is. It's like the paranoia where it's like, oh, we have to stop Tucker from talking about us. And it's like, what is he going to find? He's going to go to Israel. He's probably going to go stay in a nice hotel downtown. He's going to talk to Mike Huckabee. Like, what are you scared of? What's he going to expose by visiting? The only way you look bad out of this is by doing what you just did. So it's like, it's this hyper paranoia where they're like, oh, we can't let Tucker in. And it's like, okay, but by doing that, you look bad. You wouldn't look bad if Tucker just got to go to Israel. How many times have you heard Tucker just praise Israel? I mean, he loves the place. I don't think that's changed. He still says it's his favorite place to go to vacation. Probably not anymore, I would guess. But it's just, it's emblematic. It's emblematic of all this stuff where it's just like, just stop oppressing people. Stop abusing Tucker Carlson and nobody will care. Why they keep doing this to themselves. It's so infuriating. But I want to, again, tell you just why I think we need to talk. Because, like I just said, I was going through some old papers from a week ago. The headlines look exactly the same. Trump sends major aircraft carrier force to Strait of Hormuz. War with Iran imminent. I'm not trying to just, like, tell you that stuff's happening over and over and it never actually happens. But I'll tell you, Trump told Tucker Carlson to tone down Israel rhetoric. Well, he tried. It sounds like he tried. He tried to go interview Mike Huckabee. But of course, Wall Street Journal has a headline, Iran getting ready for war with the U.S., confronting its biggest threat in decades. The regime in Tehran is trying to boost its odds of survival if diplomatic talks fall through. And you can see here where they are hardening some of their nuclear sites, as well as some of their, better known military installations. That can be seen from satellite imagery. Israel on high alert as officials assess imminent U.S. strike on Iran, according to the Security Cabinet. Officials assess that U.S. President Donald Trump is inclined to launch a broad military strike on Iran soon after Tehran failed to meet American demands in negotiations. Officials in the Trump administration believe the Iranians are trying to stall and mislead the United States. On Wednesday, a diplomatic source was quoted by Al Jazeera saying that American patience with Iran delays may run out faster than Tehran thinks. And so in Israel, they are sending out alerts to their officials, don't fly this weekend, and be prepared for red alert lockdown. Final pieces moving into place for potential Iraq attack on Iran. That's from TWZ newsletter. A large wave of American air power is headed towards the Middle East to bolster forces already there as U.S. President Donald Trump considers an attack on Iran. Online flight trackers are showing F-22 Raptors, F-16 Fighting Falcons, E-3 Sentry radar planes, and a U-2 Dragon Lady spy plane, either in transit across the Atlantic or newly arrived in Europe. In addition, the 7th Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyer, the USS Pinckney, has recently deployed to the U.S. Central Command Area of Responsibility, AOR, as well, U.S. Navy officials told us. So this already, as of yesterday, was the biggest buildup of military equipment in the Middle East since the first Gulf War. Operation Iraqi Freedom, I guess, or it was the other one. But regardless, in decades, and now it's doubled. So that's a lot. That's a hell of a lot. U.S. talks with Iran reportedly fall apart. Is war coming? This is from JoeHoft.com, published today. The talks between the U.S. and Iran are reportedly not moving forward. Is war in the near future? The talks between the U.S. and Iran are reportedly not moving in the right direction in Geneva. In a report coming out of Israel, the talks between the U.S. and Iran's mullahs are not where they need to be, and it will be difficult to move further along the path of negotiations because the Iranians will not agree to what Trump wants. In Israel, they are convinced that the president wants an attack, as do his close circle, and therefore believe he must show that he has exhausted every opportunity for negotiations. Which, again, all of this is so weird because, as far as I can tell, I mean, obviously it's Israel that wants this attack. And it doesn't seem like Trump is exactly eager. It's just like portrayed as if it's like Trump, like, I just want to attack. And Israel, like, well, hold on, let's calm down. It's literally the complete opposite of what's happening. But apparently, talks not going in the right direction. Iran and Russia have announced a joint naval exercise in the Gulf of Oman, that is the Strait of Hormuz, tomorrow. The announcement, first reported by Iran's semi-official Fars news agency earlier today, highlights objectives like enhancing maritime security, combating terrorism, and boosting operational coordination between the two navies. Iranian Commander Captain Hassan Maksoudul described the exercise as a way to expand joint maritime cooperation and strengthen coordination. So again, you see, you know, the most important thing about this is it's a statement from Russia about whether or not they'll get involved, and they're sending a clear signal that they're not going to stay on the sidelines if combat were to break out fully. Joint Iranian-Russian naval exercise in Sea of Oman tomorrow was the headline from earlier today. Also, the Russian Doomsday Airplane, a hardened airborne command and control node that is designed to ensure real-time strategic decision-making, landed on February 16th in Tehran. The airplane is capable of secure data link and encrypted satellite communications, as well as a electromagnetic shielding that is designed for the continuity of government operations during high-intensity conflict. The flight route over the Caspian Sea, instead of through potentially hostile airspace, could be a sign of high-level state engagements involving defense ministers, intelligence chiefs, or presidential envoys. Overall, it's dispatching of such a military asset indicates Russia's prioritization of its relationship with Iran. So that 2 days ago arrived in Tehran to be a mobile command center, should it be necessary. U.S. military deployment in the Middle East in anticipation of a possible military operation against Iran from yesterday. You can see just the sheer amount of military weaponry we have on the ground there. That was yesterday. It apparently has doubled in the last 24 hours. I'll show you that in just a second. The majority of U.S. air assets are deployed to the Middle East and are stationed at military bases in Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE. It will not be a peaceful Ramadan in the Middle East, they say. U.S. bases on high alert for attack by Iran. U.S. military buildup has doubled in less than 8 hours since I last published my last update. This is from Egypt's Intel Observer. 12 F-22 Raptor stealth fighter jets are now en route for deployment. 6 have already arrived at RAF Lankenheath, and the remaining 6 are expected to arrive there shortly before continuing on to the Middle East, likely Al Udeid Air Base, which hosted F-22 deployments in the past. 36 F-16 fighter jets have arrived. 2 more E-3 Sentry AWACS aircraft are preparing to depart for Ramstein Air Base, where they will join 2 others that arrived earlier today. 1 E-11A Battlefield Airborne Communication Node, BACN aircraft with a tail number 2296 is scheduled to arrive at Ramstein Air Base in Germany before heading to the Middle East. Finally, a U-2 Dragon Lady reconnaissance aircraft departed RAF Fairford in the UK and was reportedly heading towards the Middle East. It may be deployed to Cyprus or Prince Sultan Air Base. It's worth noting that U-2 plays a key role in communication bridge between F-22s and F-35s. Trump's armada for the Middle East now includes two aircraft carriers, a dozen warships, hundreds of jets, and advanced air defenses, with more forces still en route. Over 150 U.S. military cargo flights have delivered weapons to the Middle East, and in the last 24 hours alone, 50 more fighter jets headed to the region, Axios reports. So do you see why I'm saying that this might be a little bit different this time? This is not a small-scale anything. Even just to move these planes represents a commitment of millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And every one of these things that they're moving, yes, they are moving them to be an asset and an offensive weapon in an attack against Iran, but moving it to that region also inevitably and in a de facto way makes it a target, a potential destruction by Iran. So to even move these to the Middle East represents, I think, an indication that they are committed to some sort of military interaction. China is assisting Iran with intel surveillance and real-time tracking through satellites to expose U.S. military buildups and position into open-source tracking for Iran military. China is effectively serving as Iran's advanced surveillance and reconnaissance partner, providing satellite imagery, navigation support, and possibly real-time intelligence, including access to the Baidu navigation system as an alternative to the U.S.-controlled GPS amid heightened U.S.-Iran tensions. Unconfirmed claims point to real-time data sharing on U.S. naval and Air Force movements, potentially leveling the playing field for Iran against superior U.S. forces. Again, 25 air tankers have just made their way to the Middle East. The U.S. wants as many aircraft as possible in the air against Iran, knowing that air bases may be at risk. The question is how Iran will take out the tankers and weaken the U.S. Air Force. So, that, again, it's just a lot. That's a lot of information I just dropped for you. But it all points to one ultimate conclusion. We are building up in the Middle East in a way intended to send the message that we are ready to fight. Now, that all could be to facilitate the negotiations. This could all be bluff. This could all be saber rattling to get the best leverage in talks with Iran. Or it could be because we're about to go to war with them. I guess we'll wait and see. But they're not giving us a reason as to why we might want to go to war with Iran. They aren't even bothering to false flag us or anything. They're just sort of doing it. And let's go to clip 45 here, just again to reiterate what a big deal this is and how there's absolutely no way that this goes smoothly or quickly or anything. There's no way that an attack on Iran is going to be a repeat of what happened in June, which, as much as I was against it then, was managed in a way that didn't spiral out to a wider conflict. I don't think that's going to be the case this time. And here's a video explaining one of the reasons why.
I understand. Russia, China, and Iran have a pact. So you're watching alliances form in real time. This is a direct threat to the U.S. Don't do it. The smartest thing right now Donald Trump could do is send a frigate up to the Straits of Hormuz, go, yep, see, they won't close it, they're afraid of us, and go home.
Really?
And end this idiocy.
You think this thing can be really big and not good for U.S.?
Absolutely. For Russia, Iran is the doorway to the Caucasus and Central Asia. For China, Iran is the doorway to Central Asia and further Eastern Asia. They're not going to let Iran fall.
Interesting.
It's an existential crisis for both if Iran falls. Or shatters into small pieces.
And it's not just that. It's the weapons manufacturing, the missile deals they have. I mean, they're very much tied into Iran. So they're not going to be sitting on the sidelines. And, of course, they're announcing a surprise joint naval exercise in the Strait of Hormuz tomorrow as a sign to Donald Trump that maybe his bluffs aren't working. That may be what the message they're sending are. So we'll move on. We'll get into Jeffrey Epstein as we do have some breaking news and statements following the deposition of Leslie Wexner. So we'll get to that in just a second. Just finally, on the talk of war, I want to finish out with a very strange occurrence that happened during the negotiations around Ukraine. So right now there are, dueling diplomatic summits happening One in Geneva with Iran and one with Russia and Ukraine, also in Geneva. Yeah, so both of these. So there's like a big, there's a series of big diplomatic talks happening in Geneva right now. Second day of talks on Russia-Ukraine war ends after only 2 hours. The discussions in Geneva were expected to focus on territorial issues, a major sticking point, but the short duration suggests major progress was not made, although they then went into another closed-door negotiation between Russia and Ukraine directly. And the way Volodymyr Zelensky is talking about this, even though he's not at the talks, it's leading people to believe that against his will, they're going to come to some sort of agreement, because he's complaining about, he's like, oh, the Ukrainian people won't let me give up territory. And he's talking in a way that's different than he normally does. But the weird thing that happened, the bizarre occurrence here, is clip number 29. Apparently, during this summit between Ukraine and Russia, with the America facilitating, obviously, a delegation of UK diplomats showed up uninvited and tried to gate crash the peace summit. Totally weird. Let's go to clip 29 here.
She
says, we saw that a serious delegation from Great Britain had arrived here inside this hotel, headed by the security advisor to the prime minister. They had checked into the hotel the day before, and this morning, the security advisor had already had breakfast with Steve Witkoff, and Dan Driscoll also joined them briefly. So apparently, like, without knowledge of the actual participants of the talks, a diplomatic entourage from Great Britain just showed up and wanted to insert themselves into the talks, which, if you remember, in 2022, there was a peace summit in Istanbul that basically both sides had agreed to. The Ukrainian delegates and the Russian delegates had both agreed to it in a handshake sort of deal. All that was left was the signatures from the heads of state, and in swooped the UK and Boris Johnson, and they convinced Zelensky to drop the whole thing and stopped that peace agreement from being signed. That was all the way back in 2022. Of course, if it had been signed then, not only would the Ukraine goals be actually more fulfilled. Like, ever since that peace, they've just lost more land, they've lost more leverage, they've lost hundreds of thousands of men, they've of course been robbed of hundreds of millions of dollars. There's been absolutely no positive development since then, and now they're just in a significantly worse place when they go to negotiate. So is the UK doing it again? Did the UK send a delegation, just like they did with Boris Johnson back in 2022, to try to disrupt and derail these peace talks so that we could finally get to that long-awaited World War III, where the European elite could finally finish the job of eradicating the European people? Very interesting development there. The gate crashing of a peace summit. It's just bizarre. Now, Epstein continues to be a major topic of conversation as more and more revelations are made. But the thing that happened today, yeah, I'll go, you know what? I'll go to those on the other side. Les Wexner has made a statement and was deposed by the House Committee Oversight Board, but not any of the Republicans for some reason. And they've made statements about his statement, and we'll look into all that. But I want to go now to clip number three here. This is Representative Ted Lieu lying about the Epstein files in a way that should really make you wonder what's actually going on. Let's go to clip number three here. This is Representative Ted Lieu saying lies about Donald Trump and the Epstein files. Let's watch.
So why are Republicans so interested in Bill and Hillary Clinton? It's because they're trying to distract from the fact that Donald Trump is in the Epstein files thousands and thousands of times. In those files, there's highly disturbing allegations of Donald Trump raping children, of Donald Trump threatening to kill children. So I encourage the press to go look at these allegations, and I'm highly disturbed that Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche just got the law wrong. Yesterday, he said essentially that it is not a crime to party with Jeffrey Epstein. Well, that's actually not correct. If Jeffrey Epstein was human trafficking minors for these sex parties, and you show up and patronize the establishment at that party, yes, you're guilty, because patronizing is part of the law, the federal sex trafficking law. So Deputy General Todd Lange just got that wrong, which maybe explains why they aren't investigating
stretching so far. Like, I'm not defending human traffickers, but that's just not true. You can have a human trafficker at a party. Everybody at that party is not then guilty of human trafficking. Like, what are you talking about? And again, not even like to defend Trump or whatever. It's just you should understand that if they had anything to pin on Trump, they wouldn't be saying, well, he went to a party with somebody that was guilty, so I guess he's guilty, right? It's like just the weakest stretch of the imagination. But of course, earlier on, he says, well, there's all of these very, you know, salacious unproven allegations about Donald Trump, you know, killing kids, raping kids. It's just terrible. But yeah, they're allegations. Most of them are from after 2020. And it's funny, I said this, people are like, can you link me to where the claims about Donald Trump are disproven? And it's like, yeah, on the same documents they're made. On the same documents that have the allegations, they also say these allegations were made in 2020 by somebody who didn't have the ability to know what they were saying and completely is impossible to have happened because the place they say it happened didn't exist at the time they said it happened. Like, on the papers were all these very salacious claims about Donald Trump. It always has some sort of thing being like, yeah, and this was investigated and totally untrue. So he's just lying to you. Here's the interesting thing to me. Here's the real question. Why aren't they going after Trump's associates? Why are they so hyper-focused on trying to get Trump himself and only Trump himself? Because he's not in the files in the way that Ted Lieu is saying. He's just not. And if he is, it's these completely baseless, like utterly disproven allegations that aren't worth the paper they're printed on. So why isn't he saying, you know, Howard Lutnick is his Secretary of Commerce, you know, his Commerce Secretary. He is all over these and he lied about it. Donald Trump needs to fire Howard Lutnick or else he's complicit. Why aren't they saying that? Why aren't they going after his associates? It's because they don't actually care. And because they know that if they were to bring that up, Trump might actually realize what's going on. They don't want to give Trump an out. They want to play into the story that Trump himself seems to be believing. This is all about him and trying to get him. They're playing that game because they don't actually care about the victims. They don't actually care about the people involved. They don't even actually care about, you know, getting people who are on the Epstein list out of office or anything. They just want Trump. That's all they care about. And so they're just lying or just insinuating things that aren't true about Donald Trump when they could be going after his associates, and I'd actually be in support of them doing that. But they won't, because they don't care.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should add.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. To everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feeling it?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's, yeah, it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. At TheAlexShowStore.com.
Unlimited fabulous
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.